Weibel. You are the co-owner and manager of the Hive. Do I have that about right?
Yes.
Okay. The Hive here in downtown Sandpoint. Kevin Doran, I would say you're the organizer of the Deep Roots Music Showcase.
And co-organizer.
Co-organizer, okay. Any other credentials that we should throw out there for either of you?
Musical degenerate.
Okay. Musical degenerate.
Kevin Doran. I give him a music industry expert and consultant.
Well, thank you.
Yes. Among, you know, and a qualified musician and singer-songwriter himself.
Uh-huh.
I'll give that to him. He's a wealth of knowledge for everybody in the singer-songwriter and the venue and artist world. Kevin's done a lot and worked with some amazing people.
Before we get too far into the conversation, let's say why we're here. There is Deep Roots coming, Sandpoint's original songwriting showcase featuring, shall I read the list? I will. Kevin, Caitlin Shook, Ben Olson, Josh Hedlund, Justin Landis, Russ Sabin, Hunter Jones, and Sadia Cecilia. And The Hive, September 13th. That is this Saturday. And what a lineup. The doors open at 6:30. You can get tickets at www.livefromthehive.com. And it's exciting to have that lineup. So do you want to talk about, Kevin, the whole showcase and the energy behind it?
Absolutely, yeah. This is our second event. We did one about a year ago, which was the first one we'd ever done. And Mac and I had got together and been talking about this idea for probably about 18 months before we did it last year. And honestly, we had Caitlin Shook, myself, Ben Olson, and Josh Hedlund headline the last show as well. And that was kind of the reason that we did it, is because there's some particular songwriters, them being included, that we just wanted to see on the small town big stage at the Hive in an intimate setting where people were getting to specifically be there to hear their original music. In Sandpoint, we have an immense amount of music. I've been touring for the last 7 months around the Pacific Northwest, and our talent ratio is very high to our population here. It's incredible how much talent we have, but there is not necessarily a focus on original music here. In the 15 years that I've lived here, it's been kind of building. But when I first moved here, there was a place called Downtown Crossing, which Ben Olson and Josh Hedlund were responsible for. And I feel like that was a peak in my experience at Sandpoint, where people really focused on, you know, original artists coming through town and local songwriters getting to, you know, meet with them, mingle with them, open for them. And so we're just trying to bring it back to that sort of mentality with this unbelievable world-class venue that we have. You know,
it's, absolutely,
it's an unprecedented opportunity.
So, Kevin, in your 15 years, has the musical scene here in Sandpoint grown, or what's your feel of it in the 15 years that you've been here?
Well, I think it's evolved. I just did a talk in Bend, Oregon, about the music industry and the state of the music industry and what it's like to be a touring original musician. And so I would say that this has happened pretty much everywhere. You know, as culture changes with the chaos of the world, and uncertainty is what I say about the economy, or I've said for the last 6 or 7 years, that affects culture and it directly affects music. And so when there's a lot of uncertainty, you certainly find throughout musical history that you have a lot of people creating, but because of the conflict with opportunity in the economy, you may not have platforms or stages or businesses that are going to facilitate that creation. So especially nowadays, after the evil disease that shall not be named, more people are playing music than ever before in history. It's incredible. There's more people starting businesses, most of them without real business plans. And they're dumping their retirements into these restaurants and things like this. And I've played at a lot of them. And you show up and you're not really sure why they have music at a lot of these venues. It's not a thought out intention, right? And so that's not the kind of place that you're going to have a incredible, unique songwriter. You're mostly going to have people who just, you know, or enjoy playing their guitars and want to come out and play at their friend's restaurant or something like that.
Okay.
And so I think that's happened in Sandpoint, is that a lot of places, and since I've been here in the last 15 years, they all like the idea of having music. And I think they understand somewhat the value of having music in their business, but it's not intentional. And so that's one of the things that we're trying to do with this event, is we're trying to make a focus from the community and create such a magical night. And I believe that we did that last year. I certainly heard that from the feedback, that it is notable. And we do a live recording of it, that you have to be at the event. You have to be a ticket holder in order to get that live recording. You can donate $1, you can donate $100. And then it's exclusive. It is unique to your commitment to the show. And you can enjoy that for as long as you want. We ask people, you know, when they do that, when they purchase it and get that live recording, you can play it for friends, but we'd say don't send it to friends. You know, have them come over to your house, listen to it, make it something special in the world of fast food music.
Create your own musical experience with the musical experience you had at the Hive, and tell the story of that. I think is, you know, that's really fun and special. And that was a really unique way that Kevin proposed that to everybody in the audience that got a copy. It's like, now grow this opportunity that you all had here, or this experience that you all had here, with your own shared musical experience.
And do I dare say echoes of the Grateful Dead and the way they shared their music in the early days, you know, that get the music out, let it be listened to, and then let it evolve.
I think in a certain way, like the major difference now between Grateful Dead, which is interesting because they're so popular again right now with John Mayer. but I agree, the essence of that, I think there's a little bit of a differentiation. And then that's that the Grateful Dead, they were the bootleg kings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you were told to share the bootlegs. I feel like the thing that makes this unique now to this time is that everything is so accessible. We could just make a bootleg and we could put it out and you could share it over the internet. And then that to me, as somebody who's been in the industry for about 20 years, and I went to music business school and I've managed bands, and I learned all of that during the record label heydays, right? Mm-hmm. Before Napster kicked in.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to see how the system changed. And I think accessibility to music is something that is going to become special. Maybe we'll have some technologies that actually work and do this, where you have limited access. Or, you know, you can do bootlegs where only 100 copies exist.
Oh,
you can never make any more, and you only have to access them through a blockchain or something like that. We haven't quite figured that out, but I think that that's needed. And that's kind of what we're toying with here, is we're trying to give something a store of value so that you can't just copy and send it off. Our control for that is that people have had a great enough magical experience at the event that they give it value.
Okay, well, let's talk about the event on Saturday night at the Hive. And do you want to talk about, Mac, what the Hive provides for the singers and the audience?
Absolutely. You know, first and foremost, there's probably plenty of people in the audience that have never seen a show at the Hive and maybe never been in the Hive, and they've been thinking about it. This is a wonderful opportunity to come down. We just hosted a Patsy Cline musical, and it was very similar. All week long, my phone was just blowing up, and multiple weeks in a row, like, what is the Hive like? We've never been there. And one thing that we did, this was one of the first shows last year that we did this way, and it's something that we're growing, is these fully seated shows. So we do have seats, very, very comfortable, nice chairs as well. That's something I think you would all appreciate. And so there's no bad seat in the house. The floor has the main floor. We have two levels. We've got a balcony as well. The main floor is where our general admission tickets are. And we've got tables on the dance floor. And then we've also got rows seating in the back. So our regular GA ticket gets you in the door, and likely for sure a row seat. And if there is extra availability on the floor, then you might get a table as well. But you can purchase table tickets, so you got your guaranteed spot at a table. And then we also have some supporting sponsors left for upstairs as well. And you could buy a whole table for your family. And yeah, it's going to be comfortable. There's no bad seat in the house. We're kind of in the round, I would say. It's not perfectly in the round because it's not a round stage, but our venue is set up not in your traditional shotgun long alley type of a concert venue. Ours is more in the round. It's wide, which means you could be left of the stage 20 feet or right of the stage 20 feet, but you're still only like 20 feet from the stage. It's kind of like being in a living room. I mean,
and the sound system is expertly designed, right, and absolutely state of the art, so that wherever you are sitting, there is a speaker that is intentionally pointed towards you.
Yes. One thing, we're pretty fortunate with the Jeff Grady, who created the Hive, he did not spare any expense and he did a fabulous job making sure that the sound system is amazing. So it's like you're in a living room 5 feet away from the artist, getting a really amazing, unique experience. And yeah, I you'll enjoy it. The artists are all super comfortable up on stage. Last year they had they had some couches up there, they had some bar stools, and then they were just kind of having fun and enjoying themselves. And you can, like I said, this is like going to, some of us maybe have got to go to like house parties, house shows, with some of these amazing artists and seen them live up close and personal. We're inviting you to Sandpoint's official home show at, just so happens, one of the nicest music facilities you'll probably walk into
in North America. Yeah.
Yeah. Doors are at 6:30. Show's gonna start at 7:30. We'll have two rounds of so the first four will be up on a round for about an hour 15 or so, and then 7:30 it starts, and then the next round comes up, the next four, and it's gonna go till probably just after 9 o'clock. So we're not gonna keep you up super late, maybe a little bit longer, but yeah, we're gonna have some fun, and you'll enjoy it. You won't want to leave, and you're gonna, yeah, it's really special.
When you do a seated show like this at the mm-hmm. Hive, how many seats can you put in there?
It kind of depends exactly on like the total layout, like mm-hmm. rows versus like tables and chairs. Mm-hmm. We could put probably close to 350, 400 people in there for this show, because we are doing tables. So we're taking up a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. We're going to be probably in the 225, 250 range. Mm-hmm. So yeah, let's get that balcony full. Let's fill this place up for these amazing local artists.
Cool.
And if you are listening, on that note, we've already sold a good amount of tickets. So if you are really excited, don't do the classic Sandpoint thing and show up the day of and be disappointed, because we had a decent amount of people last year who showed up and couldn't make it in.
And tickets are available www.livefromthehive.com.
Yep, you can find the ticketing link and a bunch of information there on our website, as well as if you just want to go directly to the source where our ticket is, you can go to Eventbrite, search for the Hive, search for Sandpoint, and search for Deep Roots, and the ticketing link will come up right there. And it's pretty slick. It ends up in your phone. And if you have a problem with the technology, don't worry about it. Just come to the door, and we can help you out. We can get you sorted.
I can vouch for that. I am a non-techie. And getting tickets for Always Patsy Cline was easy schmeasy.
Good.
And if I can do that, Jack, your son James at 4 years old can do it.
Yeah. you might be right about that. Let's see, anything different this year about any, did you implement any changes to the program compared to last?
We did. And I'm going to probably let Kevin touch on this because he's really the programming guy. But, one thing I think we both talked about is like, we wanted to see more songs by the artists. So last year it was a fabulous event. We had 12 artists, and this year we were like, let's make sure we put everybody up there for, what we all are desiring is their time. And that's why, I'll let Kevin go into that and what maybe the future holds for what we're doing with Deep Roots.
Yeah, so we had 12 artists last year, and we're down to 8 artists this year, I think that's the right amount of timing for the audience. We were just kind of testing out the ground to see how the event would go last year, and this year we're looking to expand it into multiple shows, to do a country showcase. We're going to do another showcase probably February-ish of this year that will be eight artists as well. And we're going to have some of the artists who were successful as the opening rounds in last year's event and this year's event then headline the next one in February. And we've got a list of people already who want to fill in as songwriters. So I think we've done a good job of building the lore, right? So there's a buzz about it, and the creators are excited about it. And then we're also toying as well. Mac and I have both talked about this in my experience in the industry and from him working at the Hive and working with booking artists for years. There's a lot of ceilings, what do they call them? Glass ceilings for women, particularly in the music industry. And so we'd love to do an all-female showcase just because I think that it's not that there isn't a lot of female artists out there performing. It's just that I still think that it's important to make intentional spaces for women to shine in the music industry, because particularly on the business end, I've run into a lot of situations where it is very difficult to be a woman because it's such a male-dominated industry from the business end, especially top-down. And so I also think that would just be a magical event in Sandpoint as well, to have a bunch of fantastic ladies up on that beautiful stage. Women tend to do better with visualizations. This show is perfect. The reason the stage looks so fantastic this year and did last year was Caitlin Shook. She's absolutely amazing at making these visually magical nights, and she's done that her entire career. Oh,
and a shout out to her and her sister, because I remember from the Pride Festival, the side boob, celebrating women musicians and songwriters in the inland Northwest was absolutely incredible. And boy, if you guys could ever put that together at the Hive, that would be a magical evening. Not to say this Saturday won't be a magical evening.
Mm-hmm. I think you did it once, right? Didn't Side Boob play there?
Yeah.
On I want to say Halloween last year or Side maybe a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Yep, Side Boob did. But yeah, it would be really, I think the evolution of what we're hoping to get deep roots to is going to be a lot of fun and open a lot of doors to a lot of other artists in our community. Mm-hmm. So it's really exciting. And we're pretty fortunate to have had some great community support the first year and the second year. The Reader, the Forge Artisan Pizza, Wine for You, which has a new location, a cool wine store in Sandpoint, and then Sunshine Gold Mine are our four big sponsors. And then we have some supporting sponsors as well. Heather and Dieter Doran, Ross and Leslie Hall, Liz Jones, and Ken Bacchus. So really appreciate everybody's support. And there's information on our website of how you can support us going forward. Again, we want to turn this into a season of magical experiences for the community, and your support is appreciated.
I also appreciate all these local businesses because I think it gets the essence of like what brings so much anxiety to people in the world right now is we're so surrounded by, you're talking about your device and how new AirPods can translate, live translation of language. And that is all absolutely incredible. And in the essence, I think technology is certainly advertised to us to bring us together. But in my experience, especially with music and how it's affected music and how artificial intelligence is going to be affecting music, I think it's the loss leader. That's the test market for how a lot of that technology is going to hit everybody else. I think that events like this, they're two and a half hours, 3 hours sometimes, events like this, where if you do your job right as the event organizer and the promoter, people aren't looking at their phones for an entire 3 hours, right?
Which would be amazing.
And I think that's very healthy, and I think that's healthy as a community to do, because it means that people are interacting with each other in a different way than we normally are. And so that's something I am proud of.
Kevin, can you talk about, for somebody who might not be familiar with Deep Roots and the artist performing, the genre of music, what will be heard for someone who's not familiar?
So we're going to have eight separate unique songwriters, all of which are great performers themselves. And I suspect many of these songwriters will be going across genres. They'll do four songs each, and it's in a round. So they sit on stage, and then one artist comes up at a time, and you go one song each, and then you start around the line again, one song each, right? And so we'll be hearing, you know, anything from Russ is going to play some pop music, I think. Hunter is from a band you will probably have heard of called the Wow Wows here, which is one of the most rock and roll bands. And then, I mean, people are familiar with the Shook Twins music, you know, ethereal, beautiful, folky, a little bit of, you know, Americana roots in it, right?
Indie rock.
Josh Hedlund is one of my favorite songwriters of all time. I would say if you're going to just come out for any reason, if you've gone to Poor Authority and you have never actually heard Josh play music, you should definitely get a ticket. That would be worth it. Just hands down, no question. Ben Olsen, also fantastic folk, a little bit of indie rock. He'll be going across genres, very intellectual songwriter. Myself, I might even play some country music this time, you know. So
he's got some nice ones he's worked on. He sent me some samples.
I've been working on that because my dad's a big country music fan, so I've been fighting what I would call pop country music since I was a kid, and I'm finally turning the corner where I'm truly appreciating the genre. So we're gonna just it'll be a variety of unique songs. And I think that whether or not you have a genre preference, this is one of the kind of events that might expand your preferences a little bit.
Is it essentially acoustic?
Yes.
Okay. Yes,
there will be some electric instruments in there, but it's essentially acoustic.
Okay. And the format will, let's say if one artist is doing an original composition, will the other artists be just sitting there and appreciating it, or will they be playing as well?
With one exception. Justin Landis, who's the biggest head on the poster, he's one of the first four songwriters in the first round doing his own songs. And then he is also going to be accompanying the headlining four artists on some of their songs throughout their set as well, because he's kind of a big deal.
He's so talented and well-versed. He's worked with all of, you know, those four artists in different capacities musically. And yeah, I mean, again, you're going to get that Sandpoint home show experience at a quality, you know, listening space. It's going to be really neat. Yes. The songwriter and their guitar and spilling it out. Last year, Sadie brought Sydney Dale. I don't know why I say Sadie, but Sydney bought a keyboard, but I don't think we have anybody doing keyboard. I think
Sadie's going to do keyboard.
Sadie, okay, I was wondering if she
would. Which is good.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, and if anybody hasn't had a chance to see Sadie Cecilia in town or up at like Hills Resort and Priest Lake, her and her dad play quite often in town. And fabulous songwriter, fabulous musician, haunting voice. It's gonna be really special. I'm like really excited about the four new faces, to hear them up there and presenting their music. They're all four fantastic. It's going to be really special.
Okay. Should we take a music break and regroup? We're here with Mac Dybul and Kevin Dorn. Mac is the main thrust of the hive, the main energy. And Kevin is with Deep Roots, putting together Saturday night's event. And so what do we have queued up?
I got a short one from the Shook Twins. I think we have possibly their whole catalog. And you hear some of them mixed into Otto's Eclectic Mix.
Right.
This one isn't Otto's Eclectic Mix. This is a short song and in a very locally flavored song called Dog Beach. Let me say a couple of quick programming notes. Number one, Allie Baranski, our friend from the Festival at Sandpoint. Is waiting in the wings. She'll be on in just a few minutes here before the end of the show. And hey, tune in at 1 o'clock if you're interested in hearing what Viggo Mortensen has been listening to lately. Tune in to KRFY for a two-hour DJ set by DJ VM, as I've been calling him internally. Okay, and here we go with the Shook Twins, back with Mac and Kevin in just a minute, and then Allie from the festival after that.
Sitting on Dog Beach.
Sitting on Dog Beach.
Log against my back.
Log against my back.
Looking at the lake across the railroad track.
Yes, the Shook Twins were in there, in the mix. That's from their album. What was that one from? Some Good Lives. And it's a cool album where they actually, all these Shook Twins albums are pretty cool. But they have, it's a true album experience. It's not just a, you know, it's not a greatest hits kind of thing. Let's see. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. It's the morning show. I'm Jack Peterson, here with Jim Healy, Mac Diebel from The Hive, and Kevin Doran from the Deep Roots Songwriter Showcase are here as well. Coming up in a minute, Allie Bransky from the Festival at Sandpoint will be joining us, probably for the first time since the festival itself. So right into what happened in August and what's coming up for the festival. As we move right along, I was just looking for a track by Josh Hedlund, and I will find it. Fear not. We'll play that.
So a reminder that the Deep Roots original Sandpoint's original Songwriter Showcase is this Saturday. This Saturday.
Yeah.
Like 1, 2, 3 days from now. Mm-hmm. So not very long. Get your tickets now. Don't miss out this awesome musical experience.
And where can they get tickets at?
Live from thehive.com. And all the relevant information, all different ticket types, whether, you know, you just want a seat, or if you want a table for four friends, if you want to sit upstairs in the balcony, you probably need to email me for that one. But other than that, there's tons of different ticket options on there for you, including, you know, if you want to support the show a little bit more, there's an extra ticket there that says, hey, I want to support you guys. We believe in what you're doing. And we really appreciate those types of community support. And this is a really fun event, and we're looking forward to doing more, and we're looking forward to showcasing more of the original work coming out of Sandpoint.
Doors open at 6:30, and music will begin around 7:30, and two groupings of four artists each, and should be over with about 9:15, 9:30, right around in there.
Yeah,
just depends how long the applause.
Absolutely.
After each artist,
I'm guessing on. We're going to have so much fun, we're not going to want to leave, and that includes the artists. They were enjoying themselves so much last year being in that format. I think the vibes, the feelings, the emotions were all very excited and having fun. So, it's going to be a really fun night.
I got one last note. I'm wearing a Forge Artisan Pizza hat right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys have seen me or you follow me on the interwebs, seen me touring around all over through Washington, California, Oregon, wearing this hat. They gave me a job when I really needed a job. It was the first job I've had out of the music industry in a very, very long time. And a lot of the people who go to that place, they are absolutely in love with the artisanship and artistry mm-hmm. in the food. They don't realize that Mike Johnson is one of the most incredible lead guitar players. And he is going to be playing a song with me. And then he'll be playing a song out at the end of the night. So that is something to come for alone, just to see Mike play guitar.
He's one of those hidden special talents that we have in this town. That's like a world-class musician, world-class guitarist. And we're so fortunate to have him in our community. And this is an opportunity for us all to get to see him play. That was my first time was last year. He played one or two songs, and I was so blown away. And I'd been hearing about Mike's musicianship and everything for a long time, and I never got to experience it. So yeah, you're right. That is one of the amazing things that's going to be happening that evening.
Well, the show is Saturday at The Hive. Tickets live from The Hive. The show starts at, or doors at 6:30. Show starts at 7. Yep. Deep Roots, the second annual summer or Sandpoint music songwriter showcase. I have a Josh Hedlund song called The Ghost of Carol B queued up. Anything else to say before we play that and then bring Allie in? Notes, anybody?
Mac, do you want to introduce the song?
Oh, The Ghost of Carol B. I'm probably not correct in saying this, but I just might be. This might be one of the most official Sandpoint songs. And for someone that is not from Sandpoint, there's a lot of imagery that this song brings out, and I'm one of those people, and it really
connects with why this place is so special. And it talks about being from Sandpoint and leaving and coming back and how this place is just perfect. And yeah, this is when he played this one last year, I about jumped. I probably did jump out of my seat. So this is a really fun song.
And Caitlin Shook said one of her favorite five songs of all time of all artists.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Here it is. This is Josh Hedlund.
Thank you guys for coming in.
I appreciate you guys.
This recording, I think, from back in 2012. So here we go. Josh Hedlund. Yeah, I'll say that. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. Josh is one of the singer-songwriters at the Deep Roots Music Showcase coming up this Saturday at The Hive. And live from thehive.com for more information about that. And let's see. We're sitting here. It's the morning show. We're sitting here on Thursday, September 11th at 8:46 a.m. talking to Ali Baranski from the festival at Sandpoint now. Well, hi, Ali. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Just fine. Good. Did you have any rain this morning?
Oh my gosh, that was so random.
Uh-huh.
For like
it
was
happened
so random. It was
there.
Right, yeah. At like kid drop off to school, and it was, yeah.
Okay, you got a little bit.
Yes, yeah. I
feel
did.
Like I missed something.
Yeah.
I walked from the parking lot here and didn't feel a thing.
Yeah, like 7:50, it rained for approximately 47 seconds.
Oh my gosh. With 45% of raindrops every square inch or something.
Yeah.
Nope, missed it.
Okay, let's see. Let's talk about the festival a little bit. I know you want to talk about the festival's education efforts and some new things coming up, but yes, it would be a little strange if we didn't do at least a brief recap. It was about a month ago, a little more than a month ago now, that the festival was underway and then wrapped up beginning of August. Well, gosh, Allie, first thoughts, how was it? How was it this year?
I mean, it's good. I think the staff's still recovering. It takes a while for us to kind of get our energy back after such a marathon. But yeah, it was a great summer. We welcomed over 20,000 people to 9 shows over 11 days, including our very first community night, which I think was such a special, amazing night. We really hope to bring it back. I won't promise that it'll always be on that Wednesday, because sometimes there's an artist routing through and we might shift things around, but that's the hope and dream. And just such an amazing lineup of such talented acts. I mean, I think people were really excited, but I think at the end of the day, even myself included, a lot of the artists exceeded expectations musically and performance-wise. And I've just heard a lot of great feedback, like Sierra Farrell and the Dispatch Night with the four bands. It was just such a special, cool thing that we get to do and bring such huge talent into our small town.
Let's see. Okay, it was the first season without outside beverages.
Correct.
How'd it go?
Yeah, I mean, we learned a lot, including, you know, one of the big things that we kept running into is our venue's limitations really affected bar efficiency. There was a lot of hand carting of product because you can't drive on the turf, and we ran out of power in places and had to bring in diesel generator refrigerated trucks and things like that. We will be partnering with a new bar management team next year. We will have to scale back the variety of options and offerings. Many guests requested leading up to it more options, more variety, but our team quickly discovered that too much variety slows service significantly.
Good point.
As a pop-up operation with kind of limited space, we ran out of storage space for the alcohol. The distributor was running out of things to give us storage power. We simply just can't offer like a lot of different choices. So that will be one change that we'll need to do to kind of keep lines moving. But just like most large concerts, we will always have some wait times, but we look forward to kind of improving our bar operations year over year as much as we can within the constraints of what we are working with. We learned a lot, specifically purchase behavior. It was very different than we've ever had. Like what people are ordering changed drastically. So that has been very helpful too, to know when people can't bring in their outside, what are they actually now buying? We learned a lot. Even from first weekend to second weekend, there was a lot of improvements. Every day we were changing and updating things. So yeah, I look forward to seeing how it now we know what we didn't know.
Okay.
So
that's interesting. Of course, wouldn't have thought of it, but of course, yeah, purchase behavior changes when you can't bring in your own things. So what did people buy this year that they hadn't in years past? How did it change?
Well, I think part of it was our own making too, because we decreased as prices as low as we could. So we had $4 16-ounce Pabst. Well, then everyone is buying the $4 16-ounce Pabst, so much so that they ran out in the whole region of Pabst. We could not get more Pabst. And that was one of the things that now the distributor knows the quantities that we're selling, so they can do a better job of, like, we won't be able to get you enough of that now that we know that you're able to sell so much.
That's interesting.
So canned beverages, I think...
Yeah.
The skew there changed, and it makes sense in hindsight. People were maybe bringing their own canned beverages, but wanted a few nice cocktails. So the cocktails decreased substantially because it took longer. And you couldn't carry maybe as many. And so now we know what we don't know.
There you go. Yeah, that was the other thing, or my experience was, I went on a couple nights, and it was, rather than everybody goes to the bar and gets their own drink, it was like, why don't you go for this group of four? And then you don't want to be carrying four cocktails. You want to get canned beverages. And,
Same thing happened with draft beer. Our draft beer sales for the same reason plummeted. We learned a lot.
Right. Okay. Let's see. Anything else about this past concert series?
Yeah. I mean, ticket sales were not record-breaking. They did still rank in the top four in our history, but... You know, with financially, the reality is that our expenses at that venue are way outpacing our revenue. And so every year I was like, we've had another record-breaking year, but it needs to be that way. Because, you know, as I've mentioned many times, just that plastic flooring that we have to get to protect the turf is over six figures. That alone is a hard number for me as a nonprofit to wrap my head around. So even though it was like fourth ever, highest one, it wasn't as good as we needed it to be. And just like a lot of other local businesses and nonprofits right now, grant funding is down. The National Endowment for the Arts grant funding has changed. And then when you decrease revenue by, for us, even, you know, 10%, it makes a huge difference. We have big hopes and dreams of, you know, continuing to expand our 8-year-round education and community programs. So with that, these programs provide, you know, great opportunities and fill music education gaps across our region. But when the summer series struggles to pay for itself as its own program, we're going to have to find new ways to fundraise to ensure we can keep serving our community year-round and bringing music each summer. So yes, I'd check out and look out for more probably fundraising events from the festival. And as always, as a nonprofit, you can donate anytime in the office or online at our website.
Well, a mixed bag here. Hey, can you, do you guys track? I'm sure you can. I don't know if you do track kind of where the ticket sales are coming from. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking, especially earlier in the year, well, surely many people from Canada did come in years past. Was that number down at all? Do you know? International ticket sales?
Interestingly enough, it was not for us.
It wasn't?
It was not. It actually went up a little bit.
That is interesting.
Very interesting. I know. Yeah. I was intrigued. Overall, nationally, our size of music venues are down about 15% in ticket sales.
Yeah.
And it seems like, this is just my hypothesis, is that a lot of people, too, when they are looking at entertainment, right now there's been a lot of really big arena shows that people are putting way more money into one ticket to see Taylor Swift or Oasis. And it's seeming to negatively affect those middle-sized amphitheater venues right now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, interesting trends, not necessarily positive, but
just gotta stay on our toes and be creative and try to, you know, find new revenue streams and fundraise.
Well, let's talk about a cheerful, more cheerful subject. You're here. You wanted to talk in particular, I think, about those. You mentioned eight education and community programs that people think of the festival as. A 2-week event, but you guys are busy year round.
Yeah, it's just one of our programs. It is the, you know, flashiest and the most exciting, but I won't have time to talk about all of them. But with the, you know, launch and school starting is a lot of times when a lot of our education programs are starting. Our pre-K outreach is relaunching every year with our own very own Paul Gunter, who goes into 4 pre-K schools throughout the year and teaches music classes for free for these schools. Probably one of our cutest programs that we have. It's 3 to 6-year-olds, and they get to play just an array of instruments. They get to learn rhythms. They learn, you know, the different groups of instruments. It's pretty amazing, and we're continuing to grow that. Right now is a big time for our instrument library. A lot of kids now are picking instruments or need to have an instrument for band. So that those checkouts are open either for the school year, summer, or year-round. They're not just limited to students. We like to prioritize students at the beginning of the school year, but then they are open to anyone. There is just a deposit to make sure that we see the instrument back at the end of the term of their checkout, but essentially it is free. It's just a refundable deposit. So there's really no like commitments there. And we have our inventories anywhere from multiple sizes of violas, multiple sizes of cellos, double basses, trumpet, flute, saxophone, acoustic guitar, electric bass, snare drums, bell kits. I mean, I can keep going. We even have accordions and didgeridoos if that's your thing. But also the cool thing that's been happening a lot more in the last couple of years, really due to Paul's expertise and ability to understand all and take care of all these different instruments, is where you've seen a lot of donations of instruments. Myself included, I had a flute that I hadn't touched in a good, you know, 20 plus years. And so probably longer. And so a lot of people now are bringing in to donate those instruments, re-give them a new life. And then also, you know, there's just not very many places to rent instruments anymore. The location in Coeur d'Alene actually just sold and closed down. So some people are even looking to go to Spokane. So really much just trying to let people know that we have a lot of instruments. Call or stop in at the office. Paul is a wealth of knowledge, and he can help figure out if we have the right instrument for you or your child.
Okay. The didgeridoo.
How about a kazoo?
I think we have a whole bucket of kazoos.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so our other programs that are launching are our Youth Strings Orchestra, also free. All of our education programs are free. So that we partner with a local instructor, Karen Dignan, who offers free classes to help students master their instruments and learn to play in a group setting. So that's open to all orchestral string players, violin, viola, cello, bass, etc. First practice actually takes place on Monday, September 15th. They're held weekly at Mondays from 4 to 5. So we have a beginner group and a continuing group of different levels, and it's completely free. And because a lot of the schools don't have orchestral programs anymore, it's a great way to learn how to play in an ensemble or in a large group. And then they have two performances every year, one around Christmas and one in the spring, that are also free performances for the community.
Cool. Free for the community.
Yeah.
This is 88.5 KRFY Pondere. That's our legal station identification, and it is now 9 o'clock, but looks like a short bird note today, so we can continue for a minute or two here. Allie, what else is going on at the festival?
I feel like there's so much to say. Our poster contest just opened, so that's our artistic poster contest, where artists locally can submit an original piece of art. The contest closes on February 2nd of 2026. And so it's original art piece that embodies the festival, Sandpoint music, and or the Sandpoint region in a creative way. All mediums are welcome. And so then in February, there is a panel of art kind of experts and community members who evaluate them all. And every year, one piece is selected as our artistic poster for the year. It's a really fun program, and it's fun to get to know the artists after they're selected. And then that art becomes merchandise, and the original actually gets auctioned off as a fundraiser every year at the grand finale. And then it's just fun to highlight and kind of honor a local artist every year for their work and their talents. And so that closes February 2nd, if interested or know anyone who would like to submit a piece. And if you've submitted in the past, you can always resubmit.
Okay. Can you, you can submit if you've submitted before, or can you win twice? Has anyone ever done two?
That is a great question. I believe there is a waiting period on when you can win again. That's a great plug for more information on submission criteria and details to go to thefestivalsandpoint.com.
Okay. The posters are pretty cool.
They're so fun. This year, Perky Hackett on Smith's was just so amazing. People are still coming in to look at the merchandise and purchase posters and things. It was fun to see how the community really rallied around and celebrated her.
Yeah. It was a bird focused.
Yes, it was.
Poster this year. And we have Bird Note coming up in just a minute.
That's a great segue.
It is. I know. But I don't want to cut you off if you have
the
lightning round.
Yeah. The last thing I have is that we are hosting Chamber After Hours on I know.
You guys are hosting the Chamber After Hours. Okay.
On Wednesday, September 24th from 5 to 7. So we're hosting it at the festival office located at 525 Pine Street. Come join us for an open house with drinks, snacks, and raffles.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be a good time.
Cool.
And with all of this information, where can one go to get a closer look at all you've been saying?
Yes.
Website is?
www.festivalatsandpoint.com. Not org. I know, it's confusing.
I was going to say org.
I know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Nope, it's always been .com. Someday we might switch it over, but it's hard when people have known it for so long.
All of the different information of the events, including all of the music for children, the festival poster, as well as the event on the 24th, www.festivalatsandpoint.com.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Okay, for KRFY, we've got, again, tune in at 1 o'clock for DJ VM. Mr. Mortensen, Viggo Mortensen, will be here in the studio spinning some tunes for you. He's got some good ones picked out, particularly for today, September 11th. He had this date in mind for its special significance in our country's history. And what else? After that, it's CP at 3, but that's all going on this afternoon. Here in town, it's the last day of that other summer music series, the Sandpoint Summer, what's it called? Sandpoint Summer Sampler. The music series in Farm and Park that POAC and Maddox Farms Productions puts on, Bit of Dat, that's going on this evening. That's one I wanted to make sure to shout out because we didn't have time to squeeze them in to the program today.
We had a busy day.
We did. We talked lots of music. Allie, thanks so much for dropping by.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Keep us in mind.
Of course.
We'll see you again. Yes, sometime soon. And time now for that note from Bird Note right now on 88.5 KRFY. Tweet, 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 tweet. Yeah, here we go. I swear, Bird Note is coming. It's just, it's thinking about it for some reason. Computers. Okay. Thanks for listening to the morning show, everybody. Again, let's see. Hey, you know what? Since you're still here, Allie, we have on Tuesday, it's our collaboration, KRFY, and the festival put on the Little Live Radio Hour in the Little Panda Theater.
That'll be 16th.
Tuesday the 16th. That's coming up. Please join us for that. You can listen to it here on these airwaves, or you can come down in person, and that's always fun. It's a fun crowd that shows up for those shows. With this time, it's Queen Bonobo and her father. It's Maya and Arthur Goldblum performing. That will be fun and a little different than last time we had Queen Bonobo on. Pretty cool. Okay, now it's working, so we'll play Bird Note. Thanks for listening to 88.5 KRFY.